Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today, we're pleased to be joined by ABC executive Nathan Varney. Nathan oversees shows like A General Hospital, Once Upon a Time, and I'm not sure exactly what all else. We'll have to ask him about that. Like I said, we'll chat about that, how his career started, and anything else he'd like to talk about. And as always, I have my lovely and talented co-host with me. Hey, Emily, what's up?
I love the way you introduced me. That's so nice that you do that every time. I am great. I am running very low on energy, but I am moving, and it's awesome, and I'm finally getting my way. I'm getting to move.
Understandable.
So I'm on the road. I'm the mobile team, I guess you could say.
And we have our official guest in the line with us. So let's bring him on, okay? Nathan, you there?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pure pleasure. I've been listening to the show for quite a while, so I am super excited to finally be a guest on the show. And thank you all for what you've done to promote the show. It's fantastic.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate somebody in your position supporting the show like this. I really appreciate it.
Of course. My pleasure to be here. It's exciting. This is a pure pleasure. So.
Yeah.
And thank you. Yeah, I know you're moving today, and that is a big deal. So you still had time to call us from the road, and that is fantastic. So glad we can make this happen today.
I was like, we waited a long time because we knew we wanted to get you on the show, and so we waited forever. And I was like, nope, it's been booked for this long. I'm not canceling it. I'll do it from my car. So here we are.
You are a trooper, indeed. So what's going on besides the move? How's everyone else's week going?
Good.
It's going pretty good, actually.
I missed GH today because I'm moving. But Cody, can tell me what happened?
of course, as you probably know, Nathan, I live tweet GH all the time, as you probably know.
Absolutely.
So I had been texting Emily yesterday back and forth updates from the show. So
I actually watched last night around midnight last, the highlights, and everybody got out of the house
Exactly. We were caught up. Almost,
except for today. Well, yeah, we caught the highlights of last night after we kicked all our friends out.
Oh, good. And Cody, you watched today, right?
Yeah, I did.
Great. So you're up to speed.
Pretty intense today.
Absolutely. It's a big, big week, even though we have an encore on Friday because of July 4th. It is a huge story week. So
right.
I know everyone's doing July 4th fun and activities and vacation, but do yourself a favor and tune in. It's some really great episodes this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I just watched the 4th of July promo earlier, and it got me so excited. I was like, oh, my gosh, everybody in the promo. And then, I freak out or something like that.
and
while we're on the subject of GH, this show is primarily a GH show, and I've had the pleasure and privilege of having several cast members on the show, and they have just been so sweet and so gracious and. And it's just...
Oh, good. I'm glad. We try our best. I will say, you know, I joined the show. I was assigned to the show about a year ago, and it's been a pure pleasure to work on the show. I can't say that all other shows have been this nice, but we have a terrific cast on the show, and our crew is just amazing. So it is... I'm so glad to hear they've been treating you well.
Yeah. And speaking for me personally... I could not ask for a sweeter, more humble group of people to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. They are a fantastic team. So it's rare in the world of TV. It's rare to run into this tight, close of a family. But it really is a family on the set of General Hospital and with our writers and producers. They're all fantastic people, and it has been one of my highlights so far in my career. So it's been a lot of fun, and hopefully it continues for many more years to go.
Oh yeah, and speaking of that. The first question I had for you, how did you get into this whole world of entertainment?
Well, I grew up I grew up in California about 3 or 4 hours north of Los Angeles, and when I was about 13 years old, I went down to L.A. and saw two television tapings. One was an afternoon talk show with Vicki Lawrence. It was called Vicki. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had celebrity guests on, and it was shot at NBC Studios in Burbank, the old NBC Studios, because now they've moved over to Universal. And then later that night, I, oddly enough, saw a taping of an ABC comedy called Coach. With Craig T. Nelson, and just something about walking into the soundstage, the smell, I don't know if it's the smell of construction or air, you know, air conditioning or whatever, but, you know, something caught my bug, and I was only about 13 years old, and I made it my kind of life mission in high school to find out all there was to find out about, you know, how to work in entertainment. And I would pause the credits at the end of shows and write letters to producers and basically just tell them, you know, hi, I'm, you know, 14, 15 years old. I really want to do what you do. Can I come down and just observe for the day? And a lot of them, you know, I will say a lot of the executives that I wrote letters to and producers back in the day were extraordinarily friendly and nice to me and always welcoming to come down and kind of check things out. And from there, I went to college for, you know, TV and film. Once I got out of college, I started working in game shows and reality shows. And then finally, I worked as a producer's assistant and production assistant on a couple of sitcoms. Spent some time at a really small studio called Regency Television. They created, or they're the studio behind shows like Malcolm in the Middle, The Bernie Mac Show. So kind of honed in my skills there. And then about 7 years ago, I ended up getting a job at ABC and kind of rose through the ranks from there and have learned a tremendous amount about the world of television through ABC, and here I am now years later still at ABC and enjoying it every day. So, you know, it's a long path, but I think I wouldn't change my experience for anything. I wouldn't exchange it for anything. It's been quite a learning experience. So I am forever thankful to the people that have come into my life, teach me about it, and to get me excited, and of course to the folks at ABC who keep me employed. So that's the briefest story, I think, on how I kind of But as you can see, you know, it's there's no easy path then. It takes a lot of work and dedication, and you just have to be patient, too. And I think if you're patient enough and you have the passion for the job, I think eventually good things will happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
That is how I got into business.
Sweet. Did you have anything for me, Emma?
Yeah, okay. So I know that you're a series executive, but I want to know, what exactly does your job entail? Like, what's a day like for you?
The job is a little hard to explain, but I think the best way to explain it is it's a little bit like quality control. So you have, you know, a studio and a network, and they fund the money to put on a show, such as, you know, our primetime shows and also our daytime shows. So basically, I'm the person in charge of just keeping that show up and running, and a typical day changes so much. I interact with all of our different departments at ABC. We have a publicity department and a social media department, a digital department that runs abc.com. We have weekly marketing meetings. So, you know, at the end of the day, we want to do the best for the show and our fans. And that's kind of a little peek on what we do. In addition to that, I also look at all of our, on General Hospital, we call them breakdowns, which are basically just our outlines. So every weekend we get about 6 or 7 new outlines, and then on Mondays we discuss every single episode in detail. And then once we all have kind of come to an agreement on those outlines, those are then sent to script writers, and on a soap opera, we have a whole different set of people that just do the dialogue on the scripts, because we have so many episodes every year. It's kind of like an assembly line. So it and that's one of the major differences between working on the soap opera and the primetime shows, because on the primetime shows, our writers who come up with the story actually write the dialogue as well. So they'll do, you know, a story area, they'll pitch the story to the network, they'll do an outline, which could be anywhere from 10 to 25 pages, and then they'll end up writing the script. And the only difference really on the soap opera is we have a whole group of people who are in New York who break down every single story for the episode, and then we send it off to four or five other people who just write our dialogue. So it's kind of, you know, it's overseeing the writing of the show, the creative of the show, if there's production issues, if there's budget issues. We also discuss, you know, contracts and you know, which cast members or contracts are coming up and which ones we're extending and all that fun stuff. So a lot of communication. The job is a lot of talking. I mean, on a given day, I think I'm talking to probably anywhere between sometimes 20 to 75, 100 people. So a lot of communication, which is hugely important in this business, just to keep everything going, because with 257 episodes a year, there is not a lot of time to stop. So the more you can keep the trains rolling, the better. And that's kind of a little bit of an insight there on kind of the day in and day out.
And I think we've just lost Emily for some reason.
Uh-oh. She's lost on the road.
We just lost Emily for some reason. Okay, if you're up for it, we do have another caller on the line if you're up for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take some calls.
All right, hold on. 615, you're on.
Hi. Nathan, I appreciate you being on the show today and having the opportunity to talk with you. I've tweeted with you several times, and I'm one of those 35-year fans of General Hospital.
Glad to have you on board as a fan.
Well, thank you. I have a question that has two parts. Obviously, coming from having watched for 35 years, I'm one of those beginning watchers of Luke and Laura's story. My first question has to do with Jeannie Francis. I would like to know, if you can tell me, why her exit was written so hastily, that things seemed to change on a dime.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, I came in when I believe Jeannie was kind of taping her final performances as I was coming in to cover the show last year. So I think, you know, the good news about all of our performers and actors on the show, whether they're on contract or not, there's always an opening for people to return. And we think she's absolutely fantastic. I think it's just coming up with the right story and working with Frank and Ron to see, you know, if there's a need for that story, when we do that story, when it exists, and then of course we work with the actor's schedule. So the greatest thing on soaps is never say never, because you never know what's just around the corner. So we would love to have her back, though. I think she's obviously enormously talented and is such a, you know, such a fixture for General Hospital. Even growing up when I was a kid, I mean, if you say General Hospital, I think you automatically think Luke and Laura. So she would be very much welcome back.
Well, that is a hope of mine I stick with it. I may not always watch because they were the cornerstone of my existence, I suppose. And, you know, I'm always interested in the hope that at some point, whether it's when Tony retires or whatever has to be worked out, that we'll have some kind of conclusion to that story other than the old sweatshirt, which was horribly disappointing.
I think there's definitely a story for Jeannie and for that character, and we will continue to explore it and see what happens. You know, we're without Tony for a little while due to his back surgery.
Right.
But, you know, we have a couple of story issues to work out with him, with who this, you know, fake Luke guy
is.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
that's interesting.
Absolutely. So, you know, when Tony gets back and hopefully is recovering from his back surgery as we speak, we'll be able to explore that and kind of wrap up that story. And then by that time, we'll actually probably be into 2015 already. So, you know, possibilities for doing this many episodes a year are endless. And to me, that's what makes it, you know, makes it really exciting is because, you know, nothing's set in stone and you can always have people come back and write new stories. It's just it's a matter of how far your imagination can take you. And that's really exciting about General Hospital. So I hope we can finish up that story for you one day soon.
Well, I hope so, too. And thank you so very much for your time. Appreciate
you're very
all
welcome.
You do that
absolutely.
Keep you in touch with the fans. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for
week.
Calling in. Thank
all
you,
right.
too.
Bye-bye.
All right. I appreciate you calling in. Bye.
That was great. But, yeah, we have a – that was great. We have a lot of – you know, we have – obviously, as you know, we have a lot of legacy characters on the show. And Frank and Ron, when they took the show over a few years ago, were instrumental in bringing back quite a few of those for the 50th anniversary. So, look, I'm a huge fan as well, and I love those right. legacy characters and hope we see them sometime, you know, down the future. They're always right. welcome back.
We actually have Emily back with us. So, hey, Em.
Hey, I'm back. Okay,
hey, welcome back.
I was, like, in the mountain for a minute. Okay, but... I'm sad I miss Nancy because Nancy and I are very close friends, but that's okay. She'll call me later. I was waiting to see who was going to get to it first. I thought she forgot about the show, but she called in and asked about Jeannie, and I was, like, going to ask if she didn't. So good to know. That was
yeah.
good information.
Yeah, no, that was,
see, I have lots of things
absolutely.
I want to know.
Anyways, yeah, please.
I'm back now.
Please ask away.
Okay.
Good to have you back.
Wait. Okay, what should I ask first? Okay. No, I can't, because what I want to know, like, you can't tell me, because, you know, that's not your job.
You can, like, you can always try. We can do it that way, and
no,
what I can hint at, I can hint at. What I can't say, I will tell you, we'll have to wait on that.
No, because all we ever, okay, literally, like, the focus of our show recently, all we do is just, like, sit around and guess who Luke is, and, like, I know you can't tell me, which kind of sucks.
Right.
It's driving us crazy. Like, Cody and I, him and I and another friend of ours have, like, placed bets on this. Like, we have bets on this. I don't know where the post-it note is, but it does exist. Oh, yeah, it's right here in my calendar. Him and I and somebody else, we've placed bets on who it is.
You're going to have to tell me when this whole thing comes out later in the year actually end up winning that bet. I would love
to
know.
Exactly. No, awesome.
But
I think
you know, I think it's fun. We were just sitting around talking about this a couple weeks ago, and we have a big story worked out for this. And, you know, again, as I was telling our caller, it's just a matter of Tony having back surgery right now and recovering from that. And I think once he is able to come back to work and stand up, we'll jump right back into that story and pick it up. And I think it's a really fun story. I think it's exciting. It's given Tony a lot to do this year, which has been fantastic to see his range, and it's just fun. So I think part of the fun, though, is the speculation, and I really encourage that.
Yeah.
As, you know, fans of the show, it's, you know, me and my friends who are fans of other shows, we sit around and we do the same thing that you guys do. So it's just part of being a big fan of a show, see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And hopefully the payoff will please you guys, and you'll be satisfied. But again, we're a little ways off from revealing that, just because we are now waiting on Tony to come back from his surgery.
Yeah, you know, like, a lot of things you can kind of figure out, but this is, like, that thing that nobody can figure out. Like, everybody has an idea, but nobody knows for sure, which is, like, it's just, like, it drives me crazy, because normally Cody and I, we're like, okay, here's what happened, and here's the deal. Like, we can totally figure out what's coming, and now we don't know, and that's kind of
That's what makes the show, that's what makes the story actually, I think, a lot of fun, because you're right, a lot of our stories can easily be figured out sometimes, and this one is a little bit, you know, more open-ended, and, you know, I think there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of different roads that the story could go down, so I think it's been fun to, you know, get to see everybody online speculating and guessing who this flute guy is, and you know, when everyone else is going to figure that out. That's what I'm really excited. Mm-hmm. Like, when's Tracy going to figure it out, and Lulu and all those folks.
Yeah.
So, a lot of fun stuff mm-hmm. coming up.
Awesome. I did have a couple more questions for you, and I think that's all I've got. I don't know if Emily's got anything else, but if you weren't an actor, or if you weren't anything in the entertainment business,
sure.
What would you be right now?
I think before I went to LA to see my first TV taping, I always wanted to be a teacher. So I think I would be teaching high school somewhere. And growing up in sunny California, I liked the rain because we just didn't get that much rain. So as a youngster, I always wanted to be a teacher up in like Oregon and move somewhere where it rained a lot, which I know probably sounds crazy to a lot of people who, get a lot of rain. But coming out from California, where we don't have many rainy days, I think I'd be teaching. So I always wanted to teach either like high school government or social studies, something like that.
I could totally see you as a high school government teacher. Oh my gosh! Yes. No, okay.
I just have that look, don't I?
Yeah,
exactly.
No, actually, that's kind of a fun class. If I just took it, and you could totally teach that class. No, I could totally see you as a high school teacher. It makes sense.
Well,
I get
thank
it.
You. There's hope for me if this entertainment gig doesn't work out. So.
Yeah.
If
everything else fails, you can go be a teacher.
Exactly. Yeah, no. At least, it's always good to have a backup. My parents always said to have a backup before I went into entertainment. So good to have one.
I actually was out in the L.A. area this past September, and it was my first time ever in L.A. And of course, we did all the touristy stuff.
Tour stuff, yeah, sure.
The Chinese theater,
Walk of Fame.
Absolutely, I loved it out there. I mean, it's just. And I've always been highly enthralled with the whole entertainment world, and
right,
and I just loved it out there. And speaking personally, I have a ton of respect for anybody in the entertainment world. I have a lot of respect for you guys.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of, it's not your regular 9-to-5 job. There's a lot of work that takes place, at night and on the weekends. My weekends are devoted to General Hospital and a lot of reading. But at the same time, I can't think of doing anything else in this world. And it's, I feel like one of the luckiest people alive because I get to drive into work every day with a smile on my face and most days are a lot of fun, and this is, it's obviously a big business, and there's millions of dollars at stake, but at the same time, we get to live in a world where we're creating characters, we're creating storylines, and it's really fun to be around that. So, for anyone looking to break into the entertainment world, it's hard work, and it's a long, long road, but it's also worth it. So it's it's been great for me, and I absolutely love what I do, so... and not very many people are, lucky enough to say that. So I can actually say I love waking up and driving into work in the morning. It's a fun job.
I have a little bit of acting background myself. I took several acting classes in college, and
I'm
also a writer. So
good.
So
do you write a lot on your own spare time?
Yeah, I actually have a completed script, a full 100-page script that I wrote on my own.
Fantastic.
So,
what's the genre? Is it like a comedy, a thriller,
kind of
a drama?
A Godfather-ish,
Oh, nice, awesome.
So
I would say,
exactly.
The blog is fantastic as well. Keep on writing. That's the best advice I give. People who want to break into writing is just practice every day and just keep writing. The people that I have enormous respect for are the people that have one idea after the next, because in this industry it's so easy to kill ideas. But if you
right.
can keep coming back with another pitch and another pitch and another pitch, it only helps you in the long run. So,
and I'm also
I would totally encourage you. Yeah.
I'm also in the process of writing a book, too. So
that's fantastic. What's your book going to be about?
I have a dream of seeing all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums by the time I'm 30 myself.
Uh-huh.
I've seen, so far I've seen 17, and I'm just writing about my experiences at each one. So.
Oh, great. That's great. That sounds fantastic. I would love to take a look at that when you're getting closer to finishing one day.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't
awesome.
Wait to read it. I get it on
sounds like a terrific read.
I'm cool.
You're
with that.
You're getting a signed copy.
I get first run autographed copy because I'm a co-host and I'm cool like that.
Well, as you should.
Exactly.
I think this is the last question I have for you.
Sure.
Unless Emily's got something. Away from the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, what's the real Nathan Varney like?
Oh, the real Nathan. I'm kind of a homebody. The real Nathan, aside from entertainment, still loves entertainment. So I'm a true fan of TV shows. I love network shows. I love cable shows. You know, I even watch a little bit of reality. I'm kind of a Bravo TV closet watcher just because at the end of a long day, I think, you know, it's fun just to come home and sit down, and you know, television and film are a form of escapism, and it's fun to be able to escape in all kinds of different worlds. So even watching, you know, Real Housewives or a dramatic series like The Good Wife on CBS is one of my favorites to get sucked into. I think their writing on that show is fantastic, and the characters are so, you know, multi-layered. So that's a show I love. I love love Nurse Jackie on Showtime. I just I really love and drawn into shows that really, really dive into character. I think that's the most interesting thing to do when you write a show and is reveal the layers of all these different people and see how they interact. And so I will say I'm a big TV and film fan. I have to read a lot, obviously, for the job. So the weekends, there's a lot of reading for me involved and a lot of note-taking. But aside from that, I love being outside when I can and the beach and some hiking. So, you know, I'm pretty low-key. There's nothing too glitz and glam about my life outside of, you know, working on TV shows. And,
right.
you know, I much prefer to be in shorts and a pair of jeans than dressing up for an award show. So I feel like I'm pretty laid back. Exactly.
You know,
dressing up every once in a while is fun. The annual
fun,
the Emmy Awards. Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to get out every once in a while, but I will say living in Los Angeles too is a blessing because you have so much at your fingertips. There's so much live theater and musicals and music. There's always something to do. So I am never bored.
Right. And now, I can't let you go without discussing this.
Yeah.
And you knew it would be, I brought up, you knew.
Wait. Before we go on the Emmys rant, because I know that's going to take like 20 minutes. I have one more question before we get sucked into how bad the Emmys were, because I know we have to talk about that. So obviously you're a fan of General Hospital because you kind of work there. So do you have like personal favorite characters? Who are your like personal favorite characters or couples on the show?
Well, being partisan, I mean, I got to say, I've got to be somewhat middle of the road. I had favorites growing up, but I really think General Hospital has, you know, one of the most fantastic cast and characters in town out of the soap operas remaining today. And I, you know, for me, I know a lot of people love certain characters, but I love the variety on the show. I don't know if I just am a product of this generation, but I love telling many stories at one time. So the more stories you can throw my way, if you have Sonny and if you have Carly and you have Franco, and I mean, if we could do a show every day with all of our characters, I would be totally pleased. It would be probably a little frantic because we'd have so many stories going on. But I just love the pace of the show now. I love the variety of the show. I tend to, as a TV viewer, get, you know, I have my favorites, but I also get a little bit bored. So when we have characters coming and going, and, you know, it keeps my attention. So anytime that our show dives into what makes a character tick, as, you know, if we get into, like, their emotional arc, or we find out, you know, kind of we dive deep into their mental status, I like those shows just because I feel like it produces a lot to explore with, and there's just a lot of drama that comes out of that. And I also love, you know, when some of the humor moments come organically, those are some of my favorite times as well. I love, you know, one-hour dramas like Parenthood and back in the day, Brothers and Sisters did this so well on ABC, where it is a one-hour drama. However, there are elements of light comedy that comes out organically from the storytelling, and that's when I know we've hit it out of the ballpark, is when all those elements blend together. So I really, you know, I miss characters too. When I don't see a character for, you know, a little while or a few days, I'm like the fans. I agree with you guys when, you know, there's not enough of a certain character or there's too much of another character. So the more balance we can strive to do, the better. You know, obviously that's easier said than done because we have such an enormously large cast on the show right now. But I, you know, I love the variety. So I can't say I really have a favorite. They're all, you know, they're all great people. And when you get to, you know, meet them in person, it's hard not to like them even more. So I love them all. Love them all.
Okay, good answer.
How about that for a fair answer?
Okay, Cody, go ahead.
It's time for the portion of the show that I like to call the a great daytime Emmy, a red carpet debacle of 2014.
Here we go.
Exactly. I just, you know, I know we were talking about this live when the red carpet was happening, but I mean, bottom line, I just don't know what they were thinking. And I, you know, I've seen a couple of articles now, which, you know, you never know what the full truth is on entertainment articles these days, but it seems like Natas just hired Here TV and an outside production company to put that together, and perhaps they made a little bit of a mistake. But, you know, I would love to see Natas make a comment about the red carpet, at least admit that perhaps this wasn't, you know, the best idea that they've ever had. And even more so, I hope everyone, you know, bands together next year and can correct the problem. As you know, there are a tremendous amount of smart, articulate soap opera press, and have any of those people on the red carpet and have a sponsored, you know, red carpet show would be a dream come true. And when you are online, I don't think you have to worry about the demographics as much. You don't need an 18-year-old. You don't need to, you know, sexy it up at all. It's an online show, and I think if you're going to have an online show, you know, you can experiment a little bit, and that's the time that we should be able to experiment with at least having people that are true fans of, you know, soap operas and daytime television know who people are. So I'm like you guys. I was totally there with you. I was, you know, a little embarrassed by those efforts.
Yeah, you were tweeting with us.
Exactly. I was tweeting with you guys. So, you know, I mostly feel bad for the talent from daytime television, and I feel bad for the writers and producers.
Absolutely.
They need to be respected, and because the show wasn't aired on any of the networks this year, it should have been an opportunity to really say, look, people, we support daytime television, and we support the actors and the talent and the producers, and we need to treat them as such. So I am just hoping, as a fan, next year they can get their act together. If they need a producer, I know a million people who are available. So all they have to do is just reach out, and we can find the perfect red carpet host, because red carpet should be something, you know, that is fun, but also very informative for the big fans. And unfortunately, they dropped the ball a little bit.
I know.
So,
you know, and
it was disappointing.
And for me, the biggest thing I'm waiting on is Natas to make a comment. And so far, cricket, you know.
Yeah, and that's a little disappointing, too. You know, if ABC would have put on the red carpet show, I would at least expect, you know, the company to make a comment. And, you know, you don't have to come out And, you know, you could always say that you had, you know, you hired certain people because you thought they were going to do the best job possible.
Right.
But
right.
as we all know, sometimes you make a mistake. And, you know, I just want to know as a fan how that mistake is going to be corrected next year. If we
right,
get to
exactly.
another red carpet where we have the same people, I just, you know, it's fine to make a mistake every once in a while, but you really should learn from your mistake. And I just hope that Mattis learns from the mistake. And
I
don't work for them, so I don't know how close they were to the actual red carpet show. You know, somewhere in the middle of all that, the truth, you know, is kind of lies in that area, in that gray area.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
you know, if they were close to the red carpet, if they weren't close to the red carpet, who knows what the exact truth is. And that's even more evidence why they should at least make a short, simple, sweet comment,
right.
you know?
But, you know,
so
and
hopefully,
and
hopefully next year it'll be better.
As a daytime fan, I mean, and soap media, I'll there's no way in this world I will stop supporting you guys, but that did put a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, you know what I mean?
It was disappointing. Like I said, you know, I already felt like, you know, daytime television fans were already kicked down a little bit because, you know, the show was online and they had to have a Wi-Fi and a connection and in order to even see it. So it was just poor timing. It was bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't the year to experiment. And this should have been the year where this show was stronger than ever. I always say, you know, when people think that you're already, you know, not doing the best job you can do, the thing to do is to come back and show people that, yes, this show needs to be on a network, and to show people that we are respectable people, we know how to put on a show, we are professional, we are polished producers, and unfortunately for the people doing the red carpet, that just wasn't the case. So to me, it's like, you know, Natas didn't show me why the show needed to go back on the air, and that was really disappointing to me.
Right.
But again, I have faith and hope that they, you know, will change it around and learn from their mistakes and really, you know, like I need to be impressed next year. That's what I think we all kind of feel like.
How could they not learn from this mistake? You know, like it was such a big mistake and nobody had anything positive to say as far as Twitter goes. So I'm like, how can they not know that this sucked?
You would think so. I would love to be a fly on the wall in those, you know, post-show conversations. Again, like I said, because they have not made a statement, I can only hope that they have had these conversations and are trying their best to rectify the situation for next year. And at this point, you know, because they're not saying much, we can only cross our fingers and you know, hope for the best.
And hope, right.
Absolutely.
Did you have anything else for me, Emily?
Nope, I think I'm good. I picked
any last burning questions on General Hospital?
Enough I can think of.
No, because like I have like 5 million questions, and now they won't in my head. And also, it doesn't matter because you can't tell me what I really want to know. So
well,
I don't want to get you fired from your job.
There's going to be a lot of good stuff coming up. Everyone should keep watching in July and August. There's some twists and turns, and there's going to be some fantastic scenes. And Alice is back on the show, as you guys all know. And I think it's going to bring the family together, the Quartermains. And there's just, I can't speak highly enough. Everything's going really well. So between now and What I Know Story, which is about mid-September. You do not want to miss these episodes.
All
right. Well, don't worry. We won't because we're obsessed.
It's all good
again,
to hear.
I wanted to thank you again for taking about 40 minutes of your time to come chat with us today. I know you're busy.
You're very welcome.
So
you're very welcome, Emily. Good luck. Absolutely. Good luck with the move. And it's been a pleasure to talk to General Hospital. And when you think of those extra questions, let's do this again one day soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got a open invitation back to the show anytime, okay?
Fantastic. I will take you up on that.
Please,
obviously, fans know where to reach me on Twitter, so I love hearing from people. Even if it's constructive criticism, it's always good to hear. So it just shows that people are paying attention and are fans of the show. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's watched the show, even if it's been for a day, a month, 10 years, 35 years, 40 years. It is very, very much appreciated.
Please give my best to everybody at GH, the producers,
absolutely,
writers, everybody.
Absolutely.
And
I know you have some big fans there, so they love you to pieces.
And to tell them what a fantastic job they're doing.
Will do. Thank you so much for that. It's very kind.
All right. I think I'm going to let you go, and I'll be talking to you on Twitter, okay?
Great. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of the week, and happy July 4th.
All right, thanks, Nathan. All right, bye.
Bye.
And Nathan's awesome, isn't he?
Yeah, that was fun. And I like how he was one of those people, like, because, you know, we have a lot of guests who don't answer questions. He actually answered questions, and he explained them. Like, thank you for knowing how to be interviewed.
Exactly.
Okay.
I will be honest with you, though.
That's my job. And then, yeah, go ahead.
I will be honest with you, though. He
what?
Almost made me cry when he said we have a lot of big fans over at GH. He almost made me cry.
That's awesome. I know, right?
That was pretty cool, I will admit. That was cool.
Okay, wait. Watch this amazing segue. Speaking of that, Tuesday night we have Kathleen Gaddy on the show. I'm so okay.
Yes, we do.
You announced, okay, let me just tell you. So I was so excited to announce this, and you wouldn't let me for like a week, which killed me because I have a big mouth. Then you went and told everyone before me, and I was like, oh, I'm going to kill him. But then I announced it, and she's sweet to be back, so I guess it's okay. But whatever,
yeah.
Okay. So Tuesday night, we have Kathleen. Also, Friday, our show from Friday night is moved to Saturday because Friday's the 4th, everyone. So nobody has
I'll be out of town,
not to listen because we moved the show.
And I'll be out of town until Sunday, but I'll still be able to do the show from where I'm at. You'll just have to run the studio for me.
Yeah, I can do that. No problem. Well, as long as I don't screw it up.
But
I feel like our Friday night shows are always doomed to, like, get screwed up because I feel like every time something happens. Also, I am so annoyed that Nancy called in while my call was dropped because I didn't get to talk to her, but I'm going to call her after I hang up just so she knows that I did hear her. And whatever.
You know,
anyway, okay, that was super fun.
I think I'm going to I'll let you go, and I'll be talking to you later, okay?
All right, okay, bye.
All right, hey, have a safe trip.
What?
Have a safe trip.
Oh, I'll try, and I'll call you when I get there so you know that I made it.
All right, thanks, bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our chat with a GH executive, Nathan Varney. Nathan's an incredible guy. Speaking from experience, Nathan is an incredible guy. As you might have heard, we have none other than my friend, the incredibly talented Miss Kathleen Gaddy, on the show with us next Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern. And I think with that, I'm going to end the show right here. You've been listening to Book Days with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.